Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm talking about why talking during sex is just as important as talking about sex. And I'm taking your calls. Topics include, so you want to give your husband oral, but you can't get past the dreaded lockjaw. What do you do? In a dream world, your wife is super open about masturbation and fantasies, so how do you make this a reality? And your partner is so in her head, she just can't reach climax. What do you do to help? All this and more. Thanks for listening. So you all know that everyone here at Sex with Emily loves the womanizer, but no one more than producer Jamie.
It's kind of an obsession.
You think? I mean, you sleep with it under your pillow.
Yeah. I mean, is that bad?
No, it's awesome. I mean, Jamie, you know this. Some might say we have the best jobs in the world because we get to take all the new models home. We try them out. We review them. And not so long ago, we did bring home the Womanizer Premium. Which somehow, I don't know how they do it, they change the game again.
I know. Every time, I think there's no way that it can get better. And it does. And the Premium is basically everything I love about the Womanizer already. But it's got a bunch of amazing new technology and it just makes it so much better.
Right. Okay, hang on. Let's pick our favorite new feature. I mean, it uses the same Pleasure Air technology to indirectly stimulate the clitoris with those pulses of air pressure. Love them. It does. It feels like the best oral sex of your life. But there's no actual licking.
Yeah, I mean, it's so good. And it has that little round silicone cylinder that goes over your clitoris. And those air pulses are exactly what I need. But I'd have to say my new favorite feature is probably the smart silence.
Exactly. The smart silence is the best. You guys, here's the smart silence. It keeps the womanizer silent until you touch it to your skin. So it's discreet and roommates don't hear it.
I know. And I have so many
roommates.
Jamie has
like 18 roommates that are all dudes. Right? I mean, it's amazing. So I don't know. I have to pick something different. I'm going to say that the thing I love besides the smart silent is the entire toy is all body safe silicone. And it's like luxurious to hold.
I know. It's really nice. I really like it.
Okay, Jamie. Thanks for sharing my obsession for the Womanizer.
Of course.
If any of you haven't tried the Womanizer yet, now's the time. To see all of them, just go to sexwithemily.com/womanizer. That's my site, sexwithemily.com/womanizer.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes. Call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com because it's awesome. Sign up for our mailing list and all the blogs we have there to help connect you more to the Sex with Emily world. We love when you subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen and comment. It really helps us and helps you as well so we can make more episodes and have more shows and more things to help you have a better life. You can also find me on SiriusXM Radio Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Starz Channel 109. You can get a free 30-day trial at sexwithemily.com/SXM. And as always, you should be following us on all social media at Sex with Emily. And you know, it is Masturbation Month. Happy Masturbation Month. We love this month. So it's going to be awesome and we're going to have lots of prizes and things we're giving away to have you may save a better month. So check us out on all the places. Hope you enjoy the show. Here's the deal. It's a study. It's an alert. I mean, to me, I know this and I've talked about this, but I always think sometimes if we can back things by science, then maybe you'll be like, oh, it makes so much sense. Talking during sex can lead to a more satisfying sex life, according to science. My top communication advice for you is when you want to actually talk to your partner about something sexual, about your sex life, that is still best to do it outside the bedroom, I think. I know. But the actual experience during sex, like, and we're talking communicating during sex verbally and non-verbally. In fact, there's a lot of non-verbal stuff during sex that is also helpful. So the study was published that said that people who communicate in bed, somehow, however they do it, are more satisfied sexually in their relationship. So to clarify, you know, you talk with our body, our nonverbal cues. In fact, they say that most of what we say is nonverbal. Mm-hmm. So moving your hand, like if you're in bed with someone and you just want to move their hand where, you know, you're like, oh, you know what? I actually think it'd be much better if they actually hit my clitoris and they moved it over. Like maybe they think that my pubic mound is my clitoris or the side of my leg, and you can move their hand. Or moaning when your partner does something that you like, or, you know, moving your head when something's uncomfortable or like kind of pulling away. Like those are all the communications. Or also when you're wondering if your partner's having an orgasm, there's always a big confusion around that. Is she faking? Is he not faking? Well, typically like your breath quickens, your mm-hmm. cheeks flush, you know, your heart starts to race. There are some signs, a little bit more. It can be, you know, you got to be really paying attention to it. But there are so many cues. So the use of verbal, nonverbal communication is important during sex. Like, and it's also about your communication style. So I think that what happens now is either people say nothing during sex, which I think is, because if you're feeling something and you're feeling good, I think moan, let your partner know that you moan. But then I think there's also the porn generation, people who the only sex they ever saw was porn. And then they make noises that are not commensurate with what's actually happening in the moment. Or they're not even commensurate with who they are. They're kind of like, this is how this porn star was making a noise, or this is how I think I should. And so they're not like genuine moans from their own. They're like an act. Mm-hmm. But I think when we all can find our voice in the bedroom, like how you speak and how you can convey your partner about what you're into. And I think the reason why people aren't talking during sex is because we think it's going to be embarrassing and it's going to ruin the mood. I think we're all so afraid to do anything during sex because we don't want to ruin the mood. But I guarantee you, you're not even in the mood if you're already thinking something else needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So just by thinking that means that you're out of the mood. So you might as well say something during sex in the sense of like, that feels really good, or moaning affirmations, or moving their hand and saying, you know, let's slow down for a minute. Since sex is so taboo and weird to us, some people become mute.
Mm.
During sex, they don't make any noise. I feel like sometimes men are a little bit quieter.
Yes.
Maybe just when they orgasm. But like, dude, no, we want you to communicate throughout the whole experience. Moaning or dirty talk. I mean, it doesn't have to be dirty talk. Like, you just be like, your ass feels so good. This feels so good. I think that we just sometimes don't say things because we don't really know what to say, or it's going to sound, we're embarrassed. We think it's going to feel, we're going to be embarrassed.
Mm.
And we think our partner's not going to respond. Like, do you ever think, like, I think you moan or you do something weird, and then maybe you look at your partner's face and maybe they make a weird face, but it has nothing to do with you, and then you think, I could never talk again or something. Like, we're all so concerned. But once you get to that point sexually where you just don't, like, you're just in your body and you can't help but make noise, it's so freeing during sex and actually enhances orgasm for women and for men.
If someone's, like, overtly quiet, is there a way they can kind of, because maybe it's not natural to them to make some noise, is there a way to kind of make it feel more not forced?
I think the best thing is to practice. Okay. Like maybe during masturbation, make some noise. Like be like, okay, I never make any noise when I'm in the bedroom. Why is that? Now Emily brought that up tonight. I was driving, I was listening to the show, and she said something about making noise. I never do, and then just do it. And then you'll realize it. Like it's just part of a natural part of the experience. And in fact, I believe that when you make more noise and you breathe more during sex, you actually can enhance your orgasms, and also signals to your partner that you're enjoying it. It's all about letting your partner know, because I think otherwise we're like blind. And the people don't say anything. Like I've been with guys, I remember this one guy. He was like, I didn't even know if he had an orgasm, if he was enjoying himself, as he was still alive, like right after. Like I would come, thank God, and then he'd be like, like that
that's
was a noise.
It
was like, it was like, and I'm like, that was how he orgasmed.
I'd be like, are you clearing your throat?
Yeah, like what? Like, did you, and like, how did you, and I knew he was, like his eyes were closed, but I'm like, dude, like you can, it's okay. Let's speak up. I mean, this is before I knew how to communicate effectively in the bedroom. I probably just wasn't annoyed by it, or like just thought like, why are you not talking? What is your problem? I think I actually said something to him once. So I was like, I love to hear you. Like, you're really quiet. And I probably said it wrong. Like, I probably did what everyone does, what you do. I probably said, you never make noise. And I probably, like, freaked him out.
Shit.
It was, like, 15 years. He's like, oh, man, what's wrong with me? Is that weird? But I think if it's more like, I think it'd be, just like everything you talk about sexually, like, I think it'd be so hot to hear you moan. I think that would be so sexy. You know, I love hearing your voice, you know? And I think, the more you do it, then you're going to realize it. Like, if you just try it out, you're going to realize that you and your partner are going to get into a groove. I mean, I want to know from you guys, do you make noise? How do you feel about noise during sex? Do you make noise?
I think that a time where it is slightly appropriate to be quiet is, say, you are more so, like, more or less, like, more loud in the bedroom with your partner, but it's you're in a position where you can't make noise. I think that that could be really hot.
Oh, like, it's, if, like, your hands over your mouth or something?
Yeah, something like that. Or, like, if you're, you know, going somewhere with, like, family or something like that on a trip, and you're, like, you know, in your own, in your bedroom. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think
if that, you have kids, yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
I thought you meant, like, you can't make noise because he has a bandana over your mouth.
That too.
That's hot.
That could be something. Yeah. Like, my brain goes to, like,
that's hot.
I think there's something to making some, but, like, even when you have to be quiet, there's still noises that can be made.
Or nonverbal. Yeah. Like, yeah. Like kind of like, just like you could just sort of show them how you like things, or grab their hands and show them how great it is, or grab their, like, if you can't make noise and make more nonverbal communication, letting them know that it's great. And I think that could be like grabbing or touching or showing them where you want to be touched. But I get it. Like, you have kids or you're staying at someone's home. Yeah, you got to be perhaps a little more quiet. But that's why I never stay with anybody. Ever. I'm just loud, actually. I think I've gotten louder, too. And I have to say, it comes with confidence. It comes with confidence because I literally don't care. I mean, I don't care what my partner thinks. I'm not even thinking about it. I'm like, I'm truly in my body when I'm having sex. And it's loud. Sometimes I'm there. And I'm not saying the whole time you're, like, yelling and screaming. It's just something that I feel like, if there's a reason why you're not, let's just say that. If there's, like, a reason where you're like, I've held back, or yeah, people have said that to me. If you're, like, thinking right now, you're listening going, yeah, you know what? Partner said to me once, why don't you? Or I am holding back. I think it's interesting to look at and say, oh, I wonder if I really, because there's so much to the act of sex that is all your senses are being engaged. So to not, it almost seems like you're holding back if you're not actually vocalizing.
I hate. When I, like, I mean, this is just like a really, I'm very passionate about this subject because I really just don't like having quiet sex. In any way, like, it's like all, because I am very verbal. So, and I've been with partners the last couple where I say stuff and they, like, don't really say anything back, or they don't, they're so focused, and I can see in their face that they're really focused, that they're like, what? And I'm like, well, I'm not going to repeat myself. That's unsexy.
You, like, you're so hot or something? And he's like, what?
No, I'm just like, oh, this feels so good. Like, your cock feels so good. Like, things like that, you know? And it's like, you're not going to do anything to respond to that. So now I'm like, oh, yeah, just, well, fuck me, right? Well, I guess you're already doing that, but, you know.
Right.
An expression, but,
right,
of it.
Exactly. So they do nothing. And they go, what? You've had a guy go, what, babe? Like, he was somewhere else? During sex?
My ex.
He was like, what? Did you say something?
All the time.
Was it eyes closed?
I was like, am I mumbling?
Was he stoned?
No, he doesn't smoke.
He was just. What, babe? Like, was he in another? Was his eyes closed? Was he somewhere else?
No, I think he was just focused. Even when he's, like, that's down on me. No, he'd be going down on me, and I'd be, like, saying, like, oh, that feels so good. He'd be like, stop. And he'd be like, what? And I'm like, no, keep going. But, like, if just keep
multitasking
going.
Multitasking is hard for people.
That's my job, is to multitask.
I know. Thank God you're good at it, because there's a lot going on here. Throw a lot of balls around. Get it?
I think, too, like, it helps, because when you are being verbal in some way, you have to use your breath.
Yes, exactly. And so you guys remember that a lot of us hold our breath during sex as well. And for a lot of women and men, you guys, holding your breath at any point is not a good idea. And that's what causes a lot of stress, is a lot of us are, as we take a breath, are shallow breathers. We don't learn to actually breathe deep into our bellies, like, you know, diaphragm breathing like three deep breaths in all the way down, and like your inhale and your exhale, like three deep in, three deep out. Like, that's the kind of breath, when you do that during sex, like, that helps to enhance your pleasure, move your orgasm through your body. And so I think breathing and moaning and all those things are kind of part of the entire sexual experience, which is why people are saying, like, oh yeah, it's like all of our senses were engaged and we're really connected, and that's why they report having more satisfying sex. It just makes sense. And so they also found, so here's the thing about another reason why women make noise. The research found that many of the women did make noise, but not necessarily while they were having an orgasm. So 66% of women do say they moan to speed up their partner's climax.
I think it helps speed up my own climax.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I agree.
I think that this is a miss. I think it's true, but I think this is for women who maybe aren't as aware that it can help you as well.
Oh.
Like, I've totally been there. Like, I've made, like, when I know they're going to come and you just are louder, have you
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, you're coming. But I think also, yeah, you're like, oh, baby, fine, come. Like, thank God. And that's when we fake it sometimes. We should never fake it. But I think that, yeah, women can realize it. Like, if you, yeah, it can speed up their orgasm as well. But if you fake it or not, women are not, check this out, we're not the only primates who vocalize during sex. I love this. So research in the animal kingdom reveals that female baboons, for example, have a variety of copulation calls, which appear to relate to their fertility. So their vocalizations are more complex when the females are closer to ovulation and vary when a female's mating with a higher ranked male baboon.
Mm.
So yeah, I remember learning all this, like, sexual anthropology. It's true. And you would know, like, when your partner, like, if you're with a higher male, you'd be like, whatever you monkeys make. Yeah.
That was a good attempt, I think.
So, and female macaw monkeys, they give a shout to help trigger their mate's orgasm too. So that's our primates. They're like, come on, babe. Like, is that a good monkey? So vocalizing, yeah, you guys. And I also think, you guys, I have to say that it helps women. The more vocal you are in your life, just you're going to get more what you want. But that's funny. Do you like my monkey?
I love your monkey.
I should start doing more animal impressions.
All these.
I don't know. I've so many skills.
More animal impressions?
I don't know.
I'll record them.
Rough.
Put them on your...
That was the most adorable thing.
Rough.
Did dogs say rough?
Well, speaking of, okay, did you know? Sorry, this is a completely random fact. It has nothing to do with what we were just talking about.
Go.
But cats, like, meow, not really because they need to meow, but to mimic the sounds that, like, people make to each other and, like, babies.
It's usually babies. Yeah, like, it's babies. Mostly babies crying. And they learned to, like, to meow over time, domestic cats, to get the attention of their owners.
Isn't that crazy? Oh. So I'm like, especially those cats that are always just like, meow, like every, like, 5 seconds,
yeah.
You're just like, so your cat.
Well, he makes these really weird noises. They're like, it's really crazy. Some, like, Pokemon noise. And I'm like, what is going on in the bathroom?
He's a happy cat.
Yeah, he's having a great old time.
The cats are just, so they're meowing to manipulate us?
Pretty much, yes.
Cats are really smart.
They are really smart.
Cats are, like, no rare of the owners.
Yeah.
Where dogs are like, I'm so loyal and I'm so lucky to be here. Cats are like, you're lucky that I'm here.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I know. I feel like I'm more like a cat. And I probably, I'm hesitating getting a cat. But I know that's the better animal for me. But I want a dog so bad.
Yeah, you need a cat that's, because, like, cats are independent. You just need a dog that's seasoned.
I need an older dog. Yes, seasoned dog who knows everything and just wants to cuddle. It's true. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to get into your calls. So, Jamie, I've been thinking. Mm-hmm. Picking a new toy is kind of like finding a partner. I mean, if you're going to spend that much time together in the bedroom, you gotta know if it's the right one.
That's very true. I never really looked at it like that.
I know. And there's so many to choose from now.
Oh,
and there's
God.
The whole, like, bigger, better deal around the corner. People say that about dates and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, is this person going to be better? But when you narrow it down to the right toys, those are the only ones we talk about here. Because
exactly.
It matters. I don't want you guys to make a mistake. That's why we're so excited to welcome Cal Exotics to the podcast and to the show. They're one of the very first founders of the American toy industry, and they still run. It's still run by the woman who started it. She's awesome. So they definitely know how to get your needs met.
And they're a cool company. Like, when we went to Sex Toy Expo and they were there, they had a tiki bar set up and they're just very inviting. And
Jamie loved their free drinks.
I did, but it was like everyone was super nice there.
No, they're so cool. They're like a quality brand. They have luxurious toys. Okay, so their new Pave line.
Oh, so pretty.
You guys, they're gorgeous. Like, this is the kind of toy you legitimately, it's a great gift for your friends, for your partner. It's like their bright turquoise, kind of like a Tiffany's box.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like what you've been wanting, but even better, honestly. Like, I got something from Tiffany's once, and the best part was opening the box.
Well, yeah, because then
it's
just a
bracelet. I mean, it was like some weird, it wasn't even, it was like a keychain. But the point is, just the thing about the box. But these toys, you open the box and then they have little diamonds on them. Like, they have little, not real diamonds, obviously, but that would be $1 million for the vibrator. But like they're just so cute. The Pave Marilyn, it's a dual motor rabbit massager adorned with crystals and offering 35 sensational vibration
settings. That's a lot.
35. I mean, don't ever tell me you're getting bored there in the bedroom. If you have 35 settings, what else do you need me to tell you to help you?
I'm taking a week off, by the way, Emily.
Yeah, I know. I'm taking the week off. I don't care if you guys stay here and try toys while I'm out of town. But, okay, you guys, if you also want a more controlled way to play with your partner, the Pave Diana is the perfect travel size vibe to get it done. So, Oh, maybe I'll bring that one on my trip.
Oh, yeah, because you're leaving.
I'm leaving. You should see the toys I'm traveling with. And this is one of them. So if you always want to treat yourself to one of these incredible toys or get one as a gift, this is the thing. If you, like, I've been wanting to get one with my partner, but she might be weird about it, these are beautiful and amazing and reasonably priced. Check out the full Pave line of toys by going to sexwithemily.com/calex. That's sexwithemily.com/calex. I want to tell you about one of the oldest and most trusting relationships in my life. It's probably the only one that's, like, never really let me down. I'm talking, of course, about the magic wand. I mean, the magic wand was a big part of my life, even before I started the show. And it's not going anywhere in my life or anyone else's. I mean, you want to know why? The magic wand has been delivering pleasure for 50 years. A long time, and it's still the best-selling massage wand in the world. I think it has something to do with all that power. I mean, they don't call it the Cadillac vibrators for nothing. Whoa, it's a good one. And even though it's not easy to improve on something so timeless, they did it again with the latest version called the Magic Wand Plus, and it is awesome. So like the original, the Magic Wand Plus is a full-size plug-in massage wand. It features a soft silicone head, easy-to-use controls, and variable speed that lets you go from a low rumble to OMG with the push of a button. And if you don't have a magic wand in your life, trust me, you should. There are now three models to choose from, original, rechargeable, and the all-new Plus. You can see them all and get one for yourself at sexwithemily.com/magicwand. That's my site, sexwithemily.com/magicwand. So let me tell you about my first time buying a sex toy. I was 22 years old, living in San Francisco, and I walked into a local shop called Good Vibrations. It really blew my mind. I mean, I pictured sex toy stores to be these dark, dingy places, but it was so open and well-lit. It was like an Apple store for vibrators. So I walk in, and one of the workers approached me, and she immediately put me at ease. She was like, "Hi, so let's talk about your orgasms." You would think a stranger asking that would make you nervous, but she immediately made me feel so comfortable and helped me figure out what would be best for me. Thank you, Pocket Rocket. At the time, I wasn't even aware that my life would also become devoted to helping people with orgasms and sex, or that I'd be fortunate enough to work with Good Vibrations later down the line. This is why I am so excited to have you guys get to know them as well, if you don't already. I mean, they do run some of the best and most respected adult boutiques in the country. And now with their online store, you get to have that same shopping experience and expertise without ever leaving your house. Seriously, guys, they just know quality. I mean, if they have it in their store, I trust it. And if they don't, I have to question it a bit more. It's not just me that feels this way. I can't stress enough the standard they set in the industry. And I'm even more excited because now Good Vibrations runs the Shop with Emily page on my website. So be on the lookout for some great sex toys and sexy announcements. To see everything Good Vibrations has to offer, just go to sexwithemily.com/goodvibrations. That's my site, sexwithemily.com/goodvibrations.
All right, let's talk to Maria. She's 50 in New Jersey, and she wants to know how she can please her husband orally.
Hey, Maria. Let's do that.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I'm so glad to hear you guys.
We're so glad to be back.
This is my second marriage. My husband is great. We've been together almost a year.
Okay.
So we're still in the honeymoon phase. The sex is amazing after 40. 50's even better.
That's what I hear. I love it, Maria. Yeah.
But I'm having trouble, like, to please him orally.
Okay. And how do you know that?
Because my jaw keeps locking up.
Okay. So did he tell you that it doesn't feel good? Because sometimes we make assumptions or we, like, assume they're not enjoying it, and they do. But you're saying you're having some pain, some jaw pain.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So he's happy, but I want to make him happier.
Right. Okay. I get that. So what's happening? So your jaw's hurting. So here's the thing. I love that he's happy with it. So really this is about finding a comfortable position and some techniques for you to make it feel good to both of you. So the most important thing is that every blowjob was once like an orphan hand job, if you think about it. Like, there was a hand. Like, hands are very, very important. If you use a lot of lube and take a break from the sucking and use your tongue and swirl it around his head, like the tip of the penis is the most sensitive. So the head of the penis, where the shaft meets the tip, is the frenulum. On the underside of the penis, there's like this little area that you can like use your thumbs and like tickle it. You could use your tongue and be enthusiastic. You got to take the breaks, though, from the sucking. That's why you're getting it. So you could just even just use your hand up and down. We had a good show with our penis. I don't know.
Yeah, it's called, it's a podcast. It'll be on our site. It's called Hard at Work.
Hard at Work.
About the penis.
Dude, that was the best title of
I
our podcast.
I love that.
Hard at Work.
Name.
Literally, Maria, I just did a whole podcast about this. And it's all my favorite tips. But if I really think that just don't, and maybe you should make sure you're in a comfortable position and a lot of lube. And you don't have to put your whole mouth in so you get tired. Use a lot of hands, play with his balls, ask him what he likes. Also, we're going to put we'll put this show in the show notes so you can listen to it if you go to sexelmy.com.
Thank you.
You're
it
so
sounds wonderful.
Okay, good, Maria. You got this, girl. You'll be great. All right. Thanks for calling.
Let's take an email.
All right.
Okay, this one comes to us from Frank, who is 34 in California. Hi, Emily. I love your show. Been listening for about a month or so. My question is, how can I get my fiancé to feel more comfortable about masturbating and also be able to fantasize as well? I want her to share with me her deepest desires and fantasies so I can help her achieve them. I love her and want her to be more open with her sexuality. Thank you for always helping so many out there, Emily.
Oh, thank you, Frank. Thanks for the email. I love that you really want her to experience pleasure. The question, though, how do I get her to, how to get her feel more comfortable about masturbating and fantasize? You have great intentions here because it's true, you guys. Having a fantasy life is part of having a healthy sex life. And so is masturbating. What I'm thinking, Frank, is she's going to have to, with your support, kind of figure out what that means. And it's going to might like take a little bit more time than just one conversation or, you know, but there might be a reasons why she doesn't masturbate. There's a lot of women who don't, who never have for many reasons. I mean, shame, guilt. A lot of women think, well, I shouldn't masturbate because I'm going to save it. Why do I need to masturbate? I have a partner to do that. And it just, it's not even part of, like, it never occurred to them. And I know for some men, they're like, huh, really? You know, but no, that's just how women are. And I often, a lot of what I do here is to encourage women to take a look at, you know, to start, just start slow, start thinking about things that, you know, things that have turned you on in the past. Like, so this might be a way you can help her. Oh, one more thing I want to say is that the other wild card here is if women or men have experienced any kind of sexual trauma, this is also something that she's going to have to get therapy and work through. But let's just assume, let's just say for here, let's just talk about getting her more comfortable with fantasizing and masturbating and all those things. Make it something that you do together. So how you're going to get it, how you're going to be able to, it's just saying, you know what? I love you. I love my beautiful wife. And I really, like, one of my goals, one of my duties as your husband and in our relationship is to make sure that we continue to grow and prioritize our sex life. Let's make a plan. Let's talk about things that we can do together that would really, you know, make it amazing for both of us. And now she might not even know what that means. Like, she might be like, well, I don't know. Everything you're doing is great. Because I know that when I used to be asked those questions before I knew stuff about sex, I'd be like, oh, no, it's fine. Whatever you're doing is feels good. Or I'd say, I don't know what I want. Like, they'd be like, is this good? I'd be like, yeah. Is this feel good? Yeah. Like, they'd be touching me. I'd be like, yeah. Because I didn't know, because I didn't do the work. And so it means that you could go on a mission with her to explore and maybe just ask her this. What is the top three times you've had sex and why that you remember the most? And then that would tell you, she's a, I don't fantasize. She might say, well, that time you came up and kissed me from behind you and I didn't know you were home yet. And then you threw me on the bed and went down on me. Or the time you bought me that beautiful diamond ring or, you know, the beautiful jewelry and something. So you need to, we were on the beach in Mexico and the waves were crashing. And now you're going to know, okay, she likes being away. She likes not having, you know, on vacation. I mean, who doesn't? Vacation sex is real. Or maybe she likes touch when you kiss her intimately and there's foreplay. So I think it's just a matter of getting comfortable with the conversation around we're in this together. We are a team. We're going to make our sex life great. And then the masturbation thing, mutual masturbation, going to a sex toy store together and going shopping and being like, what looks good to you? You know, or listening to the show. A lot of couples just sit down with the podcast. If you're not into podcasts, we've got thousands of them wherever you listen to them. They're free. We also have all the shows on the SiriusXM app. I think they're good for a week. You can download them.
Mm-hmm. We have 10 episodes right now.
We have 10. So right now, download them and listen together on a road trip or at the house. Because it's hard to talk about this stuff. I get it. But sometimes listening together, you know, she'll get inspired. Sometimes she has to hear it enough. I mean, Jamie, you've mentioned people you know that are close to you that are listening. And they're like, oh, yeah, you know, maybe I should masturbate, you know, after you said you get a friend. And so after a while of hearing this stuff, you're like, yeah, why aren't I masturbating? Damn it. Like, I deserve pleasure and orgasms. They're good for my PMS. What? They're good for my skin. They're going to put me in a better mood. Sign me up. People don't know there's health benefits to orgasm. And then just, you know, the more we masturbate, the more we know our body, the more we love ourselves. It's literally called self-love because I think we could, you know, it's loving ourselves. And I think we could all stand to love ourselves a little more in every way.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel about that, Frank.
Let's talk to Laura, who's 28 in California, and she wants to know why can't her girlfriend orgasm?
Hey, Laura. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Emily. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I had called like 6 weeks ago, and so I just wanted to say thank you for that conversation. I was asking how to make a move when we were newer.
Yes, I remember.
And yeah, you told me to just ask, can I kiss you? And I did that, and it was great.
Oh my God, and six weeks later, you're so welcome. Sometimes you just gotta ask. It's a good move, right? Awesome, Laura. Okay. Well, I'm glad that helped. I'm glad you're calling back.
It's going super well. Yeah, I mean, we're like a great match in a lot of ways, and we're exploring like kink together and, you know, having open conversations about what we like and want to try. But she doesn't come with partners, and that's like her thing.
Okay.
And we're still, you know, doing our thing, having fun, exploring. But I guess I'm just trying to figure out, is there anything I can do to, like, support her in maybe being able to, like, move through that?
Yeah. So she's never orgasmed from anything you've done to her. So you've never seen her orgasm yet?
Right. I mean, I've definitely seen her, like, I don't know how to call this, but like when there's like just more lubrication.
Right, so she's been aroused. Yeah. She's been turned on, or maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
So, has she
never like an up point of climax?
I mean, have you ever asked her why she thinks that is, or is she just like, that's who I am? I don't come with a partner.
I asked one of your questions that you've probably told other people to try of like, what works for you when you're alone?
Yeah.
And she said, it's nothing you're doing or not doing. It's just I'm in my head.
Oh, okay. And has she been in other relationships before with women?
I think she's newer to it.
Okay. I think what would be really cool is if you guys had like a night at home where you guys are playing around and do some mutual masturbation. Because that is such a, if she's comfortable with that, which I hope she would be, you know, when you're both kind of getting off, then it's hot because then you're looking at her get herself off. But then also you're seeing what she actually does. And how she touches herself. And and I know she might say, no, I can't even have anyone in the room. But I think that's a loving way for her to kind of try it out again without the pressure of orgasm. So that would be one way. And I think she wants to be able to orgasm with someone. Let's just say it's not that she can't, she hasn't yet. And why she might not, I don't know. Like maybe she has some shame around it, or she's, you know, there's a million reasons. Like she could feel like she doesn't like her orgasm face, or she's embarrassed she has to use a vibrator every time, or maybe she's never orgasmed for all we know. I think if her, so those are a few things, but then also she said she's in her head. And so when we're in our head, it's really important to, and you said you guys are getting into some kinky stuff. What's really, a lot of people who are into like BDSM and kinky stuff, it actually helps take them out of their head and into the moment because you're focusing on pleasure, pain, a role you're playing, spanking or receiving or talking dirty. And so you're really actually present. So that might help you. And then also just general mindfulness, like you guys are like, making eye contact, breathing together, you're listening to all your, you engage all your senses. So you've got a candle lit that smells great and got really sexy music. And, you know, she's feeling the touch on your, you know, of her hands on your body, and just practice slowing down and really being intimate together. And maybe she can help move through some of her mind stuff if she feels really connected and safe with you.
Can I ask a follow-up question?
Of course.
Yeah, so I feel like we're trying all these things, and I think we're both trying to kind of take the pressure off of, like, making sure she can figure out how to get there.
Okay.
But I guess in terms of the, like, mutual masturbation thing or, you know, supporting her in mindfulness, like, is there a way I can talk to her?
Okay.
Like, do you have a suggestion of what to say that might help her feel... comfortable like trying those things out.
Yeah, I think what you should say to her is next time you see her, not when you're in the bedroom, you guys are hanging out, having dinner, or, you know, breakfast, just say, you know what?
Yeah.
These 6 weeks have been amazing. I think I really love, you know, the connection we have. And I know we've talked about this before, but it would give me so much pleasure, or it really turns me on, or, you know, you'll know her language, but like, I would love to go on a journey with you where we can figure out what turns you on. I mean, I think it sounds like maybe you've said that because you said you already did the not pressure thing, but I think it's a matter of saying you're safe with me. I think it'd be really how without the pressure, but like I would really be turned on helping you have an orgasm and helping you get there. I think it would really, you know, connect us even more. And I want you to know I'm here for you for anything. And I think it'd be fun to try some new things out. And if anytime you don't feel comfortable, you know, I think it'd be really hot to see how you touch yourself. And we can light some candles. We can take a bath together. You know, just kind of lowering it, you know, your tone, and just kind of making it more like, hey, like, what do you think about that? But I think it would, you know, be really hot and without the goal of orgasm. How about the goal of exploration? So, yeah. And then also you could say, does that, you know, so just more like, I mean, like, I think, because trying mutual masturbation, I mean, which one of those do you think she'd be into first?
Maybe the mutual masturbation.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you could say do you tell her you listen to the show? I heard this thing and I think it's a really, like, I think it would just be so great because I could, you know, see how you touch yourself. That would turn me on. You can see what I do. I think it'd be fun to play together. I love, you know, if you guys are into kinky stuff, to me, that would be something that she might be into because it's really hot and fun. Mm-hmm. So I think just putting it out there. There's a page. Oh, this is what we're going to do right now. I have a page in my book called Hot Sex, and we're going to take a picture of it, and we're going to put it in the Instagram stories, and it's about mutual masturbation. So if you go to @sexemily and you swipe up, you can check that out. But I think it's really just talking to her and letting her know that it'll enhance both of your, you know, that you just want to help her get there and all that, and you support her. Find out more why. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I hope that helps.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks, Laura.
Thank you.
Call me back when it happens. We'll help you with the next things that come up because they always do. All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed the show. I love doing the show. I love all of you. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for supporting the show. Thanks to my amazing team, Ken, Michelle, producer, Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. I am so excited to let you know you can now hear Sex with Emily live 5 days a week on Sirius XM Radio. You'll find me on Stars Channel 109 Monday through Friday at 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. But don't worry, the podcast is staying right here. My brand new radio show will have everything you love about Sex with Emily and more, because every day I'll be interviewing guests, sharing the latest news, and my favorite part, taking your calls live on the air 2 hours every weekday. If you're a SiriusXM subscriber, you already know how great it is. If you never tried it, get a free trial for 30 days. Just go to sexwithemily.com/SXM. That's sexwithemily.com/SXM today to try SiriusXM for yourself. See you there.